Vitolino's, the first cereal made for Italians. It comes in three delicious flavors, cannoli, biscotti, and lasagna. And every box comes with a surprise, a gold chain and an anger issue. This cereal is so good you'll be wearing a velvet jumpsuit in no time. So go to Guidolinos.com for subscriptions and boxing options. That's Guidolinos.com. It's Guidolinos. Hey, I'm eating here. VWB is also brought to you by VetChew, the newest product from the Veterans with Benefits R&D department to treat men with ED. Let's face it, fellas, ED happens to the best of us. You can talk to a licensed physician over the phone or online. There's no more awkward in-person doctor visits telling a complete stranger your dick isn't working. This ships direct to your house in a complete non-discreet box. If your neighbors see this, they're gonna know what's inside. There's a penis on a skateboard grinding down a volcano. But your ED problems are gonna be a thing of the past. So go to vetchew.com. VWB listeners using the code VWB will receive a free tote bag with every purchase. So go to vetchew.com. Veterans with Benefits is brought to you by Vetscape, the newest product for men's grooming geared towards veterans to prevent unwanted hair for your guns and ammo. It comes with a new Mop 4 guard, so your balls will be squared away. With three different light filters, red, blue, and green, your favorite juicy won't have a mouth full of pubes. So rank up your sack with Vetscape. And go to vetscape.org/VWB for 16% off. Your little E1s will thank you. Oh, did you grow up poor? Did you? Did your parents get your school shoes from a car wash? I don't think so. Yo, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Joe.
Good. What's going on, man?
Not much, Roland.
Yeah, sorry about it. Earlier, I made a Thanksgiving quesadilla. And didn't go well. You know, have you ever had one of those shits where you're like rethinking your life?
Yeah, every time I go to fucking Taco Bell.
Like, I look at my phone like, fuck, it's 6 o'clock.
So I was sitting there, I was looking at the phone. I was like, he hadn't called yet. So I got another bowl instead.
So, what branch were you in?
I was in the Air Force for 20 years.
Oh, you did 20, huh? Okay. When did you enlist?
I got in 1992 and retired in 2013.
Oh, so you're an old head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't have anything else to do when I was going to get close to graduating high school, so I had my mom go down with me after I'd been through all the riffraff and all the bullshit. She signed the final paperwork when I was still 17, and as soon as I turned 18 and graduated high school, I hauled ass.
What was your job?
Wasting government taxpayer dollars.
What's that?
Especially when end of the year money came around, fallout money. You're like, yeah, you gotta go spend $100,000 real quick. We're like, shit. So we run down to Walmart. We're like, hey, we need a bunch of buggies and a bunch of people to follow us. They're like, wow, we got $100,000 to spend before midnight. They're like, what the fuck? I'm like, yeah, come on. So we went through and we just bought every damn thing.
What was your job?
My job was, I was in the communications field.
Okay. Dude, I wanted to get into that.
Why? It'll just make you a drunk and a stoner.
I mean, I got stuck, you know, working maintenance. So I wanted to do something with the camera.
Okay, so, you wanted to be audio-visual.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got some bullshit. Like, you know, I didn't score high enough in the ASVAB, but there was no jobs available. I was like, God damn it. You know, I got sold that fucking
bill of goods.
Yeah.
So where were you stationed at?
Shit, it's easier to see where I was not at.
Oh, you were everywhere, huh?
I was everywhere. I was combat communications and deployable communications. So I bounced around every damn there, everywhere.
So thank with God. So what exactly was your job like? I'm not too familiar with that career field.
Well, if the shit hit the fan on the other side of the world, the next day we were there.
Yeah, but like, what were you guys doing?
We set up all the communication systems for any forward operating base we had to go through. Anything from the internet, satellite communications, video teleconferences, secure conferences, regular base communications, radios, whatever you needed, that's what we did.
Okay, okay. So, were you over there after 9/11?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I flew back into America on September 11th, 2002.
Okay, okay. Were you ever at Langley?
Langley? Oh, hell no. No, no. I was at Norfolk, but not at Langley.
Okay. Were you ever in, did you ever do the Korea tour?
Kumsan, baby.
Okay, I was Kumsan too. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Wolfpack, baby.
Yeah. I was there 14 and 15.
14, 15. I feel old. I was there 94.
Oh, dude, it must have been a blast in 94. Oh. Come on.
It was great because, you know, you go downstairs, you know, and in the dorms, you know, and they had these Coke machines down there. And it was 45 cents for a Coke or a soda pop or whatever those Yankees call it. But for 35 cents, you could get a Miller Lite or an OB, or an Oriental Brew. So I economized and I always kept quarters and dimes around. Boom, boom, 35 cents, Miller Lite.
Dude, yeah, like, I'm thinking, like, early 90s, Kunsan must have been, like, Pleasure Island from Pinocchio. Like, it must have just been the best.
It was fucking crazy, man, because we had this damn thing going around where we were stealing everything, everybody's shit, and putting it in our own hooches.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, we definitely would have been hanging out because, yeah, we did the exact same thing.
Yeah, so we got all liquored up one night. We're like, you know what we need in the communications hooch? And they're like, what's that? I was like, ejection seat, you know, out of one of the F-16s out here. You know, hey, let's go Juvats. Yeah, let's go get a Juvat, baby. So we went out there. We broke in the middle of the night, drunk as shit. In the government vehicle, across active runway, taxiways, whatever the hell it is, I can't remember, taxiways. And we break down in this little hangar. We break in this son of a bitch, and we steal a damn F-16 jet seat.
That's funny. Where are you from, dude? I'm trying to get that accent.
Where am I from? Well, I'm from everywhere, baby.
You sound like somebody from TV.
From TV?
Yeah. I don't know what state.
I've been on TV a few times, but
I'm gonna say Arkansas.
No, but I got a sister and a brother lives in Arkansas.
Of course you do. So where's this accent from?
The accent picked up. I grew up down in Mississippi.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Then I left, went over to Texas, do my basic training. I was like, all right, I'm ready to see the world. Yeah, they sent me to Maxwell Air Force Base, Montgomery, Alabama. I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, so, damn. So you only did 20, huh?
Yeah, I only did 20. That's all.
Yeah. What did you do when you retired?
Now I just sit around, drink beer, smoke some weed, you know, every now and then. And I'm sorry.
Oh, so you
made a sandwich.
You're just chilling, like you can retire. You retire like good, where you don't got to do nothing.
Yeah, yeah. The day I retired was the last day I ever worked.
Oh man, God bless you, dude. I can't wait for that day.
Yeah, and now I just wake up. You know, if the phone rings, I look down. I'm like, who the fuck is this? I'm like, ah, it's one of my buddies. I'm like, what you doing? I'm like, hey man, we fixing to take the birds up and go flying. You want to go? I'm like, fuck yeah, pick me up because I'm too drunk to drive. And they're like, I'm coming to get you, baby.
That's the life, dude. I'm not even kidding. Like, you wake up in the morning and you're just like, you.
Yeah, I just wake up. It's great, baby. And I keep trying to tell all these young kids around here about the things I did, the things I saw, and everywhere I went. I'm like, hey, y'all should go do this. I mean, if nothing else, do the National Guard. And they'll pay for your education. Take advantage of it, baby. Some of them are doing it. And one of them, I took him up on the flight a couple months ago. And this little boy loved it so much. We pulled up, did an Ariane roll, and then we did a couple of roll back up. It was fun as hell.
So you're a landed. Pilot, too?
Well, not legally. But I only live like a mile and a half from the airfield. I'm there almost every day. And I first started flying when I was 19 years old in Wetumpka, Alabama.
Okay.
And then by the time I was 19 and a half, I was skydiving and jumping out of planes.
I feel like you had like a Forrest Gump style like military career.
Well, that would be, dude, we would have to sit down and I could tell you everything about my whole life and it would make Forrest Gump look like a little piece of shit from down Greenbow, Alabama.
What's one of your like favorite stories of when you were in? Like something you would tell somebody, like a funny, like cool story that you can remember.
A funny, cool story. I was telling one just a few days ago. I worked with the White House briefly for a little while, and they just kept remembering my fucking name, and they pulled me in. It's a multiple story. That's my favorite stories off of this time I'm a period. But I was sitting there, and I was waiting for President Clinton to come in. I'm freezing my ass off all damn day, and that son of a bitch shows up late. But we have to stand there. And he comes out, and he's like, hi, how you doing? Yeah, love you too. God bless America. I didn't do it. I didn't inhale. And then we're like, come on, get your ass on out of here. And he took off, and I was like, fuck it. So I ran up to my neighbor's house. He lived on base. Ran in there. His wife had been making chili for us. So I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking beer, and I'm eating this chili, slamming a couple of shots. And then the phone rings. I don't know how the hell they found me. They found me over at my damn neighbor's house. They're like, hey, tell Joe to get his ass back down here in front of Air Force One right now because President Clinton wants to talk to him. I'm like, God damn it. So I'm like, somebody got to drive me back down there because I ain't getting no DUI. Yeah, okay. So they drove me back down to the damn base operations. I run through Secret Service, sees me, and they're like, God damn, Joe, you're fucking drunk. I'm like, yeah, I said, your boss said come down here. So they're like, come on, just don't say nothing. Or don't do anything. Just shake his hand and nod up and down and you're good. I'm like, all right, so I'm standing there. And here comes Clinton down. He's like, hi, thank you for your service, Joe. We love you so much. Thank you. And he just kept talking and I'm shaking my head left to right like, no, 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 I'm fixing the blow.
You threw up on the president.
Secret Service moved President Clinton on down the line, and I'm sitting there looking, and I'm shaking my head around. Secret Service grabbed me, and they run me off the rope line in front of Air Force One real quick.
So basically, you almost threw up on the president.
I almost fell over on him.
I never got to meet a president.
That was a funny one. And then a few months after that, I was attached to President Bush for a while. You talk about a great man. He'd come up and he'd give you a hug and he'd fight with you and he'd talk with you all damn day because he's a former pilot too, former Air Force.
Yeah.
You know, he would sit there. He'd rather sit down and hang out with us than hang out with all the suits and shit. Because he's like, y'all feel like y'all my people, baby.
Have you ever heard that that Putin Super Bowl ring story?
No, lay it on me.
Okay, so I can't remember what football player it is. It was some old school legend, and they're like meeting Putin, and Putin asked to see his Super Bowl ring. So the guy takes it off and hands it to Putin, and he's looking at it. Putin puts it in his pocket and walks away. And as the guy was like going to say something, two of his goons show up. And that's it. Like Putin just straight up stole this dude's Super Bowl ring. And I know I'm going to look it up when we're done recording, because I can't remember which football player it is, but anyone listening, let me know, because it's a true story. Like, this really happened. Like, he just straight up stole this dude's Super Bowl ring like a gangster and just walked away with it. You ever heard that before?
No, I ain't ever heard that shit before.
Yeah. It was recent. Like, it's not a very old story. I'd be pissed.
Well, yeah, the only person that stole the ring off my finger was my ex-wife, but I wasn't pissed about that. I was actually happy after that shit.
Now, you know what? Now I remember who you sound like. You sound like my buddy Kyle, who used to do this show. He used to do the show with me. You sound like Kyle in 20 years. Because he would have said that exact same thing.
Now, I've never listened to any of your podcasts before.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for all the help. Yeah,
no problem, man. I just saw where you posted today and said you ain't got nobody to talk to. And I was like, well, fucking, I ain't got nobody to fucking talk to either.
What? Well, I had a dude scheduled to record tonight, and we had to reschedule for tomorrow. And I was like, I had already things set up. I was like, fuck, I might as well see if anybody wants to do an episode.
So what is this, like, edited and shit or what?
It's edited a bit, but not really. It's going to be our conversation.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I hope you don't mind, but you're going to have about 9,000 people listening to this.
I don't give a shit, baby.
So, hey, what was, you came in and you said you went in at 92?
Yeah, I wasn't 92 fucking years old. It was called 1992 for all you younger folks.
I was born in 81, man. I know what 92 is.
You're born in 81?
Yeah.
You're just a little baby.
So, tell me what boot camp was like in the 90s, dude. Do you guys still have the – did they still have Warrior Week in the 90s?
Yeah, they had that crazy shit. You know, and to me, I grew up on a fucking farm, man, with a mean-ass grandpa and an even a meaner fucking daddy. So those girls started to come out there and yell. Plus, I had four brothers and four sisters, and I was down at the low end of the totem pole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hey, they were coming in, they start yelling, screaming at me, throwing shit. And I was like, damn, it's like being at home again. Shit, that's pretty cool, baby. I'm like, and I get free food? Shit, yeah, and I don't have to do dishes? Fuck yeah, baby.
Do you remember, did your dad or grandpa did they ever bestow any wisdom to you? Any words of wisdom when you were little? Do you remember any of it?
Yeah, my grandpa, he was too young for World War I, but by the time World War II came around, he had too many kids, and they're like, no, we're not going to take you. So they let him go out of both World War I and World War II. But one of the best advices he gave me one day, and it's pretty damn good advice. He had this big yard, and I used to cut his yard for my grandpa all the time. I'm talking about a big yard, like a 1-2 acre yard. So I'd cut the grass and weed eat it. And he's like, looks good. You're fired. You never cut my yard again. I'm like, but Papa, what the hell did I do? I'm like, I don't even charge you money to do it. I just do it. He's like, you're fired. I hired somebody up. I kind of felt offended. And then next thing you know, a couple of days later, this the new neighbors from about a half mile down the road, that's our neighbors half mile down the road down yonder. These two twins about my age, a little bit older with bigger boobs, you know what I mean?
Okay.
They were wearing bikinis. And one was pushing the push more, the other one was on the riding more, and then they were out weed eating. And I'm looking, I'm like, Papa, is that what you fired me for? He's like, yes. My advice to you, boy, you see them things out yonder? I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, I'm 80-something fucking years old. If I was your age, I'd be out there sparking every damn one of them every chance I got. But hey, that was my pawpaw.
Yeah, he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, three kids later by three different ladies. Yeah, pawpaw, thank you.
Yep.
It's expensive.
That's how they did it back then. So where was your first duty station?
Maxwell, Montgomery.
Okay. So you didn't go very far.
Not at first. And then I went to old crusty NCO from the damn 60s and 70s. You know, he was still there. I was like, how do I get to see the world? He's like, oh, come here. He's like, you tell this person right here, you want to volunteer for Coonsign. I'm like, where's Coonsign? Don't worry about it. Just tell him. I was like, I want to volunteer for Coonsign. I'm like, okay. I didn't know where the hell Coonsign was. Yeah. A couple months later, I damn sure did.
Yeah.
Man, stepped off the plane. They gave us our M brief over there. And the base commander said, welcome to the furthest military airbase installation you can come to off the west coast of America. And he talked, and he's like, if you have any questions, meet me down front. I was like, ooh, that was kind of interesting. Thought bebop down there. You know, only got like two stripes, a little bit of young dude. I said, excuse me, sir. You said this furthest we can come off the west coast of America. And he's like, yeah. I said, what's the furthest I can go off the east coast? And he said, he's like, Injirlik, Turkey. I'm like, okay. I didn't know where the hell that was either. I bebopped back over in the personnel office. I was like, hey, I want to go base of preference to Injirlik, Turkey. They're like, okay, click, click. A few months later, I found out where Turkey was.
I've had friends that have been there, and they said it was amazing.
Oh, in Turkey?
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing, you know. The Turkish woman I met while I was over there when I lived there for 2 years, I brought her back. She was amazing until she divorced me.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, Turkey's nice, dude. I'll tell you, have you ever been to Guam?
No, that's where my second ex-wife always went with the B-52s.
Oh, damn. So I'll tell you a story from Guam. So we get there in 06. We get off the plane, you know, we get the in-brief, you know, everybody, you know, go back to your dorms, you know, we got a commander's call, you know, 0730 tomorrow morning. He's like, and he basically goes, nobody goes off base. Everybody stays on base today until we get settled in. So I'm in this hotel room with two other guys I've never met before. And we're just sitting around. And one of the guys gets up and he's like, fuck it. He's like, you guys want to go to the bar? And I think I had one stripe. I was an airman at the time, but I was old enough to drink. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, pfft. So we get a cab, we go downtown. That's all I remember. We got hammered, like hammered drunk. I don't know how we made it back on the base. So we get back on base. We go to the commander's call the next morning. I know we still smell. Like, we didn't go to sleep. We were still up. And that plane ride from the States to Guam, I don't know how long it was, dude, but it was fucking long.
Yeah, so, it's long.
So the commander gets up on stage, and he looks pissed. And the first thing he says, he was like, now, there was some airmen last night that did something they weren't supposed to do. And that's when we started sweating. Because we're like, how did they find out? Like, you know, we're running bullets, and you could smell the booze coming off us. And apparently, there was some guys went to the BX and bought a bunch of booze. And we weren't supposed to be drinking at all. So, like, we got off the hook. But, dude, I was so fucking scared. I was like, they're going to send us back. Like, we just got... Like, I mean, that was one of my favorite trips of all time. Like, that, those 8 months in Guam, dude, ew, oh my God, it was the best.
So, what aircraft were you on maintenance on?
I was, the first one, I was on the B-52. And then when I was at Langley, we worked on the 22s and the 16s, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I was a parachute rigger.
Where were you at on the B-52s at?
I was in Minot, North Dakota.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made that trip up to Grand Forks, and I was like, hell no.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's a lot of snow and a lot of wind.
Yeah. I was with the B-52Hs down in Barksdale.
Yep, they got them in Barksdale too. Yep, that's right. Yep.
I was down there with, I think they call it the 8th Air Force, I think.
Yeah.
8th Air Force, 2nd Bomb Wing.
So, like, in your job, were you guys pretty much like the Air Force's, like, geek squad before there was a geek squad?
More like a combat geek squad, did they kill you?
Yeah. What did, now, since you were back, you came in the 90s, I know you guys hazed people.
No, never. What? That's illegal.
Well, yeah, I know, but let's just say you had hazed some people. What would you have done?
What would I have done?
Hypothetically.
Hypothetical, you know, somebody keeps stealing on my laundry powder and going down and doing their fucking laundry with my fucking soap that I just bought at the BX. I solved that shit real quick. Well, hypothetically, this is how I would have solved it. I would have took some fiberglass with thick gloves on, shredded up finely, mixed it in with that damn laundry detergent. So the next time that person took my laundry detergent, washed their underwears and drawers in it, and put them on, they got the itchies.
Damn, dude. That's some medieval shit right there.
Hey, nobody stole my shit no more.
I stole a dude's shirt from boot camp. I was doing laundry duty, and I was making him shine my boots while I was doing the laundry, and he didn't want to shine my boots anymore. So I lost all his t-shirts. So for like the last 2 weeks of boot camp, he had no shirt underneath his BDUs. I'm like, you're going to shine my boots or you're going to find yourself some new t-shirts? So when you got out, what was it like? You were just like, did you just do like a whole 180, like turn off that military shit and just went back to Joe?
No, I did not. No, I did not. I was actually amazed, you know, when I hadn't been home down in Mississippi in quite a while. So I said, you know, I'm going to come down and stay with you. Talking to my folks down there. And I went in that little hometown that I grew up in. I started looking around and I was like, okay, I don't want to sound like a snob, you know, but I think I'm a little bit smarter than these people because these people are fucking retarded down there. They're still doing the same dumb shit they were doing 20 years ago. What the fuck wrong with these people? So that was my big adjustment. Find out that civilians were still doing the same dumb shit they were doing as teenagers whenever I left. I came back and they're still doing the same dumb shit.
Yeah. That's what it's like. It's like time stops. You know, in your home.
I couldn't stand around there very much longer. I was like, you know, I got to get away from these people. I got to get around some more educated people. So I took off and went back to Texas.
What part of Texas you in?
That time I took a contract out at Fort Hood.
Okay.
Lived out there for a while and then I moved to Kansas.
Kansas. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to Kansas.
It's a great state. It's called the air capital of the world for whatever reason.
The what capital?
The air capital.
Arab?
Air. A-R-A-I-R.
A-I-R. Air? You saying air?
Air capital.
The fuck does that mean?
Oh, man. If go to your local airport. Book your flight anywhere you go, and I guarantee you, one of the planes you fly on was built right here in Wichita, Kansas, the air capital of the world.
Oh, that's why they call it. Okay.
Yep.
That's fucking
We have 40 airports just in the Wichita metro.
God damn.
Yep. And 8,000 pilots.
Shit. Well, as long as your drunk ass isn't getting on a plane and flying.
Okay. What, are you going to take my license again?
All right, Joe. So before we wrap this up, I ask every guest a round of bonus questions. So answer these to the best of your ability, okay?
All right, let's hit it, baby.
Name me a conspiracy theory you believe in.
That freedom is free.
Okay. That's a new one. All right. Favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday? St. Patrick's Day, baby.
Okay. Damn. Dig it. Dig it. Okay. Who's got the best French fries?
Best French fries. Ooh, that's a toss up between Mickey D's and Taco Hell.
Taco Bell don't have French fries.
Yes, they got the nacho fries, dude.
That ain't a French fry, dude. That's some commie talk right there.
Hey, but I like the Latino food. Come on, man. I'm from down south. You know, I'm almost one of them, but I'm considered part Cajun coon ass, you know, and redneck. I don't know what the fuck I am, man.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Favorite movie?
Favorite movie? Oh, The Devil and Miss Jones.
The Devil and Miss Jones. What the fuck is that?
Google it. You'll find out real quick, baby.
Is it a porno? Are you telling me to go look up? You asshole.
Found that movie when I was like 5 years old. I was like, wow.
All right, I'm gonna age you really well with this question. What was your favorite TV show growing up?
Favorite TV show growing up, Sanford and Son.
Okay. Yeah, you're old. You're old. Elizabeth! Elizabeth!
Come and see you, honey.
I'm coming. I'm coming, Elizabeth. Oh. All right, Joe. Yo, dude, I appreciate you doing this, dude. Right? You know, with short notice, man.
Yeah, no problem. I tell you what, if you message me later, I'll give you a spouse of a veteran. He's the caretaker. You think I'm crazy? Listen to this motherfucker's stories.
I don't think I've had a spouse on yet.
Oh, but he would be perfect because he would lay it on you really good, baby.
Yeah. All right, I'll hit you up, dude.
right. Hey, you have a great night, Roland.
You too, bro.
God bless America, wherever you are.
All right, everybody. Peace.
Peace.
Veterans with Benefits is 100% organic and cruelty-free. The show is produced by Low Cash Productions, written and directed by Roland Spurbeck. If you or anyone you know is in crisis, please call the Veteran Crisis Line at 855-521-1317.